There's this ritual celebrated among exactly two people I know called Genie Thursdays, involving my dear friend Genie and a now 14-year-old named Layla, the daughter of our other dear friend. Here's Genie.
I think it became a thing when Layla was in preschool.
She'd pick up Layla on Thursdays, and they'd just spend time together.
You know, going to a cafe and hanging out and having snacks and drawing and talking.
Getting out in nature, playing games. And of course, Genie Thursdays have evolved over the last decade.
As of late, lots of music. I want to hear what she's listening to and who she likes and why. And so much fun. We do that in the car and we sing together. Even like last week, I did have a Layla Genie Thursday, and she was with all her friends after like their theater practice. And she was like, wait, I'll be with you in a minute, like on a text. Like I'd wait for her and I was like, oh, this is what's happening.
Genie and Layla's parents consider themselves family. That's how close they are. Genie was actually right there at the hospital when Layla was born. She's close with Layla's older sisters, too. Genie Thursdays started at least partly out of necessity, helping out two working parents with school pickup. But Genie and Layla developed their own relationship. They are a consistent and close part of each other's lives.
There's a very open, comfortable connection we have. It's just fun and easy. And I just, because I'm always still bowled over how unconditionally she loves me. That's how I feel. And I feel that way about her, obviously.
So how much is this Genie Thursdays, Genie Layla Thursdays, going to continue through high school?
I hope so. Because I was like, does this have a shelf life? And Layla's like, no, Jeannie's going to be an old lady and we're going to hang out and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm like, okay, great. I'm in.
As parents, we know about the importance of raising children in community, about how to bring people closer to our families and be there for others. Central to that model is the ever-important role of auntie and how meaningful that role can be to both the adults and the kids. So meaningful, we're devoting an episode to it. From 10% Happier, this is Childproof, a parenting show about parents and caregivers. I'm Yasmin Khan. Today, how auntie is a verb, not a gendered title. We talk to a pair of sisters who define auntie that way and view it as a radical act. That's after the break.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Welcome back. Today, we're talking with Adrienne Marie Brown and Autumn Brown. They're sisters who are biologically related, but who also make the point to say they are chosen family, along with another sister and their parents. They all put effort into these relationships, and the effort can be pretty playful.
One of the things that we like to do in our family is surprise each other.
Oh, really? This is Autumn. She has three children, ages 9, 11, and 13. Their names are Finn, Siobhan, and Mairead.
And so we do a lot of like orchestrations of surprise visits. Not all families like this, but we do it a lot. And one of the things that we especially like to do is to surprise the kids with a visit from an auntie or grandparent.
It's worth it for their reaction.
And this is Adrienne, Autumn's older sister.
Every single time it's so worth it because they just are like apoplectic. They run, jump on me as if they were still tiny, even though they're all taller, almost all taller than me now. And like, you know, they're growing so fast. And then they each concurrently try to tell me everything that's happening in their lives in that moment and like what we need to do.
Adrienne and Autumn have overlapping careers. They both work as writers, activists, and facilitators. Together, they host a podcast called How to Survive the End of the World. Fans of that show and of Adrienne's writing will know that she consistently identifies herself as auntie, not just to Autumn's three kids, but also to her friends' children. is one of the first things she mentions about herself in her best-selling book, Emergent Strategy. It's about embracing and adapting to change. The two sisters live hundreds of miles apart. Autumn's in Minneapolis, Adrienne's in Durham. So Adrienne's had to work to be part of the kids' lives, despite the distance.
When they were younger, I was out to see them every month. I would come out for like a week.
And yeah, then there was like a year and a half, 2 year stretch where that was the frequency that was really important.
I mean, how did that come about?
How do you remember it coming about?
So what I remember is just total obsession with your children and just being like, I just like love them. And, you know, like in my dream world, we would all live in the same compound or whatever. But you were living in like rural Minnesota, and it was like, based on where my life and everything was, I was like, I don't think I can pull it off. I think what happened in that instance was I was the doula for Mairead's birth. And then I stayed for like a month after that and really became part of the household. You know, like when I'm in auntie mode, this other better human emerges who's able to do all the things. And so I think it was like that process of just showing up a lot. I don't remember like having an explicit, like, here's how often you need to be here, but it was just like, we need you here. It helps us when you're here. Now looking back, actually, I feel like they were a stabilizing force for me and I was a stabilizing force for them. During that period, I was just beginning to have a different reputation, like a more visibility. And, you know, it's like traveling and going around to places and giving talks and speeches and facilitating high stakes meetings and stuff. And then I would show up to them and they were just like, we could care less. Like they just cared about who I was as their auntie specifically. So for me, it was very stabilizing because I was land and I would know what my role was in terms of putting them to bed, you know, giving them baths, making them pancakes in the morning and, you know, figuring out what our play schedule was going to be and, you know, just plugging myself in to be of use.
When you said that a sort of different side of yourself emerges, a better self being with them, is that because you're taking care of needs? Because it happens out of necessity? Because, you know, there are like actual primal needs to tend to, especially when kids are little.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's like, I love being in care mode. Like I really like caring for people. And I think of the role of mother, parent as the ultimate divine offer of care. You know, like I will care for you with my body, with my soul, with my spirit, with my time, with my energy, attention. So I feel like slipping into auntie role, for me, it's just like, oh, I'm going to partner with the care that's being offered to these people. And my attention changes. So I feel like in a lot of my life, my attention is like, me, me, me. What do I want? What do I need? Yeah. Like, what's my next, you know, what's my next primal need? But I feel like when I come to visit people where I'm in the auntie role, it's like that slips away a little bit. And I think also seeing Autumn, like seeing your needs, you know, being able to be like, oh, you can go take a bath right now, or you can go for a walk. You know, often we would just be doing chores next to each other, but it was just like having someone else to be in that caretaking work together is really, I find it satisfying.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Autumn, like what did Adrienne's presence, but being of use, but just like having such a close auntie, what kind of ease or comfort did that offer you?
Yeah, it's actually kind of hard for me right now to think about that time.
Yeah, I was like, it's tender.
I'm like surprisingly really emotional right now.
Oh, sweetie.
I wasn't like expecting to feel this kind of some of these feelings, but it's like, it's a hard time in my life to recall. Mm. I think that Adrienne actually really helped me survive that time of my life.
Autumn shared with us that the early years of her parenting experience were difficult, isolated in rural Minnesota with three kids. That's why Adrienne played such a crucial role. And even though the two were close as sisters, they had to feel their way through a new dynamic of parent and auntie.
And I will say, Adrienne and I grew into that level of me trusting her with with the like stepping into care work, because I think like, you know, just like you have to learn to become a mother, you have to learn to become an auntie, mm-hmm. you know? And Adrian and I had a lot of like hard moments in the earlier years of when I was like first becoming a mom, where the shape of my life and what I was needing was changing. Yeah. And, you know, Adrian would come to visit me wanting things to look a certain way, or wanting us to be able to do certain things, or wanting to be able to like do certain things in my space, where I would be like, there's a baby here now. And like, that's no longer a part of the equation.
My life during that time was very much like drugs, sex, adventure. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I think I was like doing acid or something when you were having your first child. And I was like, I need to be there, you know? And it was just sort of like, our mom was just kind of like, I think you need to sleep.
You should just wait. Go to sleep.
Take a nap.
You could see them tomorrow.
Get some rest.
Fly out 2 weeks later.
Yeah, and I would absolutely show up and just be like, okay, so like now the baby's in bed, like should we go get high, or like should we have a drink or whatever? And Adam's just like, I'm breastfeeding. Like, and I had other friends who had little children. You know, I had a sense that like, oh, everything must change. But it really was like, I had to grow up to be a good auntie. Mm.
And I think to Adrian's credit, Adrian's really, really good at taking feedback, you know, and I am very direct. And so yeah, it was like,
it works for us.
We really grew into it.
When you both say that, you know, you have to learn to be an auntie, like you have to learn to be a parent. I mean, I'm wondering if you had any expectations for yourself of what kind of auntie you would be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we had amazing aunts growing up that mm-hmm. were like really cool. I think for me, I was like, my job is to be like this really fabulous global traveling, like, you know, adventure-based person that comes into their lives totally. And plays with them. So I just had that expectation. But then it was distinct when I first held Autumn's first child, where I was like, oh, you're of me. You know, like, I'm not planning to have kids. You're the closest that will come to this experience of like the same things that made up me make up you, if that makes sense. And I would say from the time that Finn was born to the time that Mairead was born was like one of the most rapid growing up periods of my life. I remember that I did explicitly have conversations with you and with our other sister and with our parents about like, how can I be better as a sister? How can I be better as a daughter? And I think I had to take in the feedback of, you know, just like, can you be more present with us? There's nothing in the phone that's as interesting as you. And that's also true for everyone else I love. So how can I reorient where my attention's flowing? I started learning to set different boundaries with everything else that I was like, I'm going to see my family right now. So no, I'm not available for anything else.
I have to say, I did love that part of the conversation that you two had with each other on your own podcast, that you're family, you're related, but you're also chosen family, and that family is an intentional act. Mm-hmm. Like you have to put effort into it.
Yes. I think people take that for granted.
And we put a lot of effort into our relationship. Yeah.
We sure do. Yeah. We have a weekly phone call as a whole family. Hmm. We have a thread that's just for our sister thread. We are... Autumn and I are in contact probably every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, as we're learning to live with COVID and figuring out how to navigate those boundaries, we're able to visit again. But COVID definitely kept us apart for the longest time since the kids were born. And mm-hmm. we just did a lot through Zoom. And all of the kids text me, you know, I have a text thread with the three of them and, you know, we stay in touch.
Autumn, if you don't mind my asking, and you don't have to answer this, but what's coming up for you specifically when you were feeling emotional about sort of reflecting on that period?
There's a lot of stuff that is like a blur. There's plenty that I do remember, but there's a lot that I don't remember because it was like, I was having to navigate a lot of things that like a young parent shouldn't have to be navigating.
We didn't press Autumn on details, but we know that she was grieving the loss of a pregnancy at 5 months and later going through a difficult divorce.
And I was very isolated. It was a very, very like somatically overwhelming time period. And then what's interesting about like the last 3 years is that this period, the pandemic period of suddenly not having the ability to access like in-person family support has overlapped with this time in my life where I, you know, had to leave my marriage and really intentionally create home and family in a different way. Yeah. But I feel like you know, when I think about the whole arc of it, a lot of that time period, Adrienne, of you being, you know, an active member of our household who would come in and out, I think was helpful preparation for me in terms of understanding that, like, there was a different way that I could have my family structure. What's amazing is that, like, I feel, even though I've been more isolated by the pandemic, I feel far less isolated as a parent now.
That's right.
And I feel much more present as a parent now. I mean, it's just interesting to think about one of the things that aunties do, or one of the, like, critical roles that aunties can play in our lives as being, like, present witnesses to all that is unfolding inside of parenting. And being someone where the response to what is unfolding won't be to walk away, but to come closer. Like, that's what an auntie does. An auntie is like, I come closer because I feel responsible, rather than like a lot of other types of people in our lives might be like, ooh, that's intense. Gotta go get some wine, you know? The auntie's gonna be like, I'll bring the wine and I'm coming closer.
Yeah, I was like, we do need wine. But
coming up, Adrienne and Autumn get specific on what it looks like to come closer and how it's almost an act of rebellion. And they talk about earning your way into auntiehood, because it's more than just a title. That's after the break.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal, or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back. My conversation with Autumn Brown and Adrienne Marie Brown feels personal on multiple levels. I'm a parent. You all know that. I'm a sister and an aunt. I have three nieces. I've always been very close with my sister Maria, so of course I wanted to be a fun and present aunt. But as her girls get older, I'm developing my own relationships with them, separate from sisterhood. Auntiehood is changing. I wanted to know how those relationships evolved for Adrienne and Autumn. I was wondering about your sisterhood in this sense, and if your auntiness is like an extension of the fact that you are close sisters, or is it just this other role that you love to play because of your nieces and nephews?
Nibbling. Yeah, we use the term nibbling so that it, you know, the kids keep changing their genders every year, and it allows that to happen. It's a little both and chicken egg, because we are exceptionally close sisters, like, and we're an exceptionally close family. And I think part of that is because of how we have negotiated the relationship around the kids. Like, it's forced us to be like, hey, some stuff is going on here that's not okay. And, you know, or the vibe is kind of tough right now. And it, I don't know if you're able to see it, you know, because you're in it all the time. Like, I think the there's a gift that comes from being able to come in and out and be like, I can really feel something here. Something's really different. Something is going on. Are you aware of it? You know, because often, especially for women of color, I think we can get into a survival mode that just takes for granted that it's going to be hard. And then... you know, it's just like, it's just going to be hard. It's just hard. Like, it's hard out here, right? We just say that to each other and we expect that. And then I think you need people who are close enough to say, that's too hard.
Yeah.
That's harder than it needs to be.
That's not hard. That's abuse.
That's not hard. That's actually abuse. Exactly. Exactly. Literally. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like, for, I now have like a whole group of women in my life that I have been the auntie of their children. And this is this period of patriarchy kind of exploding and falling apart and shifting. But I feel like, especially as a queer auntie, you know, I've been like, hey, there's another way. Like, this doesn't have to be your normal. And we this can shift. And it, and the shifting will be good for you and for everyone involved.
Just jumping in to say that both Adrian and Autumn get really passionate here, talking about queer family and chosen family. They say an important facet of queerness is finding other ways to build support for family life, because historically, queer people have had to. Autumn ties these relationships to a much bigger picture.
I mean, we just don't value the labor of women, and we don't value, like, I mean, I shouldn't just say women, because it's not, you know, mothering and auntieing is not gendered necessarily. I just, like, I really believe that intentionally creating these relationships in our lives is part of how we disrupt the systems that are killing us and killing our planet, you know, like intentionally embracing them, not just as like default roles that people might be in, but as like a political or values-based commitment you could make to another human being. Like, it could literally be a way that you're changing the world. And it certainly has been, I think, with Adrian.
Yeah. It can be a radical act.
Like, I would say it is absolutely one of the fundamental wounds of, like, modern society, the way that we raise children. It's completely inappropriate that children are expected to be parented exclusively by two adults. Now, given that those are the conditions, it can be really complicated to invite other people into parental roles.
You know?
And so we've had to be really, really, like, intentional and careful about, you know, what language do we use? And I'm not saying even just with Adrian as auntie, but like with a, because we're trying to have more of a queer orientation to family, you know, we have to also have a lot of care and intention around the language that we use to describe the roles that people are having in our lives, because also to parent is a lifelong commitment.
Yep.
Yes.
But I would say, yeah, I mean, like, it's part of my political commitment to ensure that my children are being cared for by a lot more people than just me and their dad. So I feel very strongly about the role of aunties and uncles and just inviting other people in to be a part of the whole support structure.
I think there is also a part of it that's earned. And I think this is to me, one of the queerest aspects of queer family is, like, whether you're blood or chosen or however it is, proximity is not how you earn the role. Like, it's actually about, like, can I show up with consistent care? Can I be in a lifelong commitment to being a part of this little one's growing up? Can I take instruction from the parent? It was a hilarious period there where I was being an auntie to multiple people who were being raised with very, very different, like Autumn's kids were being raised like out in the woods where it was like running around naked in the mud. And like, and then I had another parent who was like very, very fastidious. I was like, okay, in order to earn my auntie location, I have to be able to show up here and not be like, you guys are dirty, and show up over there and not be like, you're too clean, right? But just be like, these are the values that your mom holds. These are the values your parent holds. And like, my job is to be at her side, helping her grow you in, you know, grow you with her values. And then also figure out where I inject myself into it.
So. I was just about to say, like, when you toggle between those two very different scenarios, like, do you still feel like you can show up as yourself?
I do, because I'm very adaptive and because I see the values of all the things. But I feel like the part where I get to insert myself is just sort of like, in any scenario, how can we make this fun? Mm-hmm. That's where that's what I bring to the table. Is like, if we're washing our hands, how do we make a song out of it? Like, for me, that's my auntie magic, is being like, let's play.
Yeah.
Let's use this as a space of creativity. And then you can do that with whatever the values are that the parent is bringing. And, you know, shore things up or loosen things up a little wherever you go.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately, how like sisterhood and friendship are like the most special types of relationships to me. It's so unique, and it's such a unique type of intimacy that I feel like not enough is said about. Aunties also give you windows into the parts of your child that you don't see.
Yeah.
Because of how they see your children, and also because of what your children will choose to share with aunties that they wouldn't share with their own parents. And hopefully you have a kid who feels like a healthy enough boundary with their parent that there are things that they won't share with their parent, right? It's like, that's something that you want. Yeah.
And you're comfortable with that. You've watched that happen. Or you
totally.
Know,
yeah. I know that it's happening, and it's important. It's like, there's a little bit of mourning that comes in when you realize that there's stuff you don't know about your kid.
Yeah.
But that's also part of their aging, you know?
Yeah. And again, you know, just on the intentionality, being able to come back to you and be like, okay, what are the talking points? Like, what's the framework around like how they are with their bodies? Like, what are the talking points around boundaries? Like, are they allowed to be dating people or what? You know, like those are things. It's like, I can come back and always check with you. Like, I'm never keeping a secret from you. And the kids always know that.
Right.
That it's not like, this is a secret that my mom can't know. It's more like, we're having a private conversation because this is something you want to talk about with me, and I've got you know? I always think that's so important, that I'm like, I'm not going to help you do something that's against what your parents want to see you do. I'm going to try to help you survive and navigate this moment, right?
Yeah.
Nibbling trust is like the bomb. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the most high level trust. You know, they're like, I trust you with my life. And everything is interesting to an auntie. I'm like, I don't get to see you all the time, so I'm not bored with any of these updates or anything you want to tell me. Like, I want to hear everything.
You know, I meant to ask at the beginning, do you play this role too? Are you auntie?
So I am auntie to like an adult.
Uh-huh.
Our other sister, April, has a stepdaughter who came into her life as a teenager. I have a chosen auntie role in the lives of friends' children. I'm reaching a stage in my own parenting where I now have capacity to have more of an auntie relationship with other people's children.
Mm-hmm. Do you two talk about getting older as auntie and parent? Do you think about what the relationship's going to look like as the Nibblings grow up?
I don't think we really have talked about it.
I don't think we've talked about it like projecting forward. I think that we're very like, I think we do a really good job of like each phase, you know, like as things change. I feel like Autumn really helps me understand how to be the best auntie I can be. And that feels really right. So like when I'm coming in, you know, she'll send me, you know, a message or text, or we'll talk the first night that I'm there, and she'll just sort of let me know, here's where each of the kids are right now. Like, here's what their needs are. Mm-hmm. Here's what their interests are. And we even get into the nitty gritty of, here's the emotional state I am coming into this visit. And it's like, what are the emotional states that the kids are in, that you're in, so that we kind of can take care of each other.
I will say that I have a few other chosen family aunties in my life where I've had more of the longer term conversations. You know, like my best friend a few years ago specifically sent me a chunk of money for each of the kids so that I would be able to open savings accounts for each of them. And now it's like something that anyone can like contribute into if they wish. She definitely brings that sort of like longer term orientation of like, here is the role that I want to play in the kids' lives when they're in college. Mm. Here's the role that here's like the way that I want to be in relationship with them at this stage.
Our friend, Sister Dr. Alexis Pauline Gums, has written this essay that sistering is a verb, where she's talking about Aisha Shahida Simmons and many others, and just learning sistering as a verb. And I feel like auntieing is an extension of that verb. You know, like there's a sibling extension where it's like, I'm here for you. I see you. Mm-hmm. I love you. Anything of you, I'm going to care for. And you get in the boat and you're like, I'm falling in love with your child and you can count on me. I also, years ago, I wrote something about how I want love to be the thing that I am best at. And at that point, it felt really aspirational. But now I feel like being an auntie is really the
You're
thing.
You're so good at it.
It's really maybe the thing in my life that I have been the best at. It's the place where I feel most generous. It's the place where, like, there's just no pretense. There's no need for any kind of performance. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, each of you is a different little human becoming more of yourself every day. I'm just so grateful, Autumn, like, to you that you have taught me how to be a good auntie and trusted me to show up and trusted me to be that close to your family. It's just so, so intimate.
It's so intimate.
It's one of my favorite kinds of intimacies.
That's Adrienne Marie Brown and Autumn Brown, two sisters whose love and activism inform their approach to being aunties. Childproof is produced by Pala Shaw and Marissa Schneiderman. Our senior producer is Stacia Brown. Our managing producer is Kimmy Regler, and our executive producer is Jen Poyon. Scoring and mixing by Joe Tisdall of Ultraviolet Audio. Carolyn Pennypacker-Riggs wrote our theme. Connor Donahue is our manager of technical operations. Childproof is a production of 10% Happier. If you like our show, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review. Episodes of Childproof are available free wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to hear new episodes 1 week early, you can download Amazon Music. Or if you want to hear new episodes early and ad-free, you can subscribe to Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app. Please support our show by filling out a survey at wondery.com/survey.